Metro Detroit continues cleanup today from the weekend's flooding. Torrents of rainwater and sewer overflow gushed into streets, into homes and basements. Wayne County remains under a state of emergency, with teams trying to deal with the public health threats, the stranded vehicles, folks without power, and so much more. This is extremely frustrating for those who remember similar devastating floods in 2014 and intermittently in places all throughout the Detroit metro area. Nick Schreck is an associate professor of law at Detroit Mercy School of Law, and he focuses on environmental law and related equity issues. Nick, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
So, like I said, we're just a few years removed from that last massive flood for the Detroit region. Can we truly call these 100-year floods just based on the amount of rainfall anymore?
Well, no. I mean, unless we want to say that we've had multiple 100-year floods in the last 10 years. And so, but that just totally changes the game in terms of how we plan for infrastructure, how we plan for these types of storms. And really what it is we're in a new normal. It's, a changing climate, maybe call it global weirding, whatever term you want to use. We have these more intense rainstorms that are coming on a more regular basis.
Nick, writers and scientists and mappers have talked at some length about the issues that face cities like New Orleans that lie below sea level. And this is becoming an increasing conversation on the Eastern Seaboard. But a city that's geographically set the way Detroit is, should a city like ours be flooding so often?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the way that we as humans have changed the landscape. So this was an area, prior to European colonization, a lot of wetlands, an area that has a lot of clay that drains towards the Detroit River, drains through the Rouge Rivers or the Clinton Rivers, towards our Great Lakes. And so what we've done is through development of roads, highways, buildings, taking what were natural streams, turning them into culverts or pipes, we've really altered the landscape. And when we look at our roads in particular, these are highways that are below grade. So, when we talk about Interstate 94 or I-75, these roads that have flooded this weekend and multiple times over the past 10 years, they're below the surface of the earth, right? They've been excavated. And so they have pumps that are needed to pump water off of the road surface when you have rain events. And what's happened with this flood and the flood in 2014, there was also 2016 when I-94 was flooded significantly, the pumps have failed either because of a loss of power or because they themselves have had some sort of mechanical issue. So what's different about other parts of the country is that, yes, we should be in pretty good shape, being that, the way that the natural systems here developed, it's a wet area, we've got the Great Lakes, there's a lot of water, but we've significantly altered the landscape through, adding pavement and concrete and the different types of engineering that we've done here in Southeast Michigan.
Right. How do you think about the major fracture points or weaknesses in Detroit's infrastructure? We can say that the major highways are a little enough below ground that it's an issue in flooding. What else?
Right. So we also have what's called a combined sewer system in, many parts of our region, including the city of Detroit. And that means that the sanitary sewer, when you flush the toilet, that's connected in many instances to the storm drains. So the culverts along the road that are supposed to move the water off the road surface. And when you have rain, even just a couple inches of rain, that combined sewer system gets overwhelmed, and that can lead to backups into people's basements, which we've all seen the horrible pictures of people, moving couches, but also, important family mementos and things out to the curb because of flooding. And what's important to note is that those basement backups are often include human waste, right? They often include sewage as well as other contaminants. So that's another main problem we have, is that our storm drains that deal with water, with rainwater, they're connected to our sanitary sewers.
Can I just jump in for a minute? Wasn't there a federal mandate for major American cities to deal with this?
Well, yes. And, the city of Detroit was actually under a federal court order for over 30 years to deal with the combined sewer overflow issue. And we've tried, and we've gotten better in terms of treating to a very limited extent this sewer water mixed with storm water before it gets discharged into the Rouge or the Detroit River. It might get hit with chlorine for a brief amount of time to try and kill E. coli and other contaminants, but you're still seeing a lot of these overflow events happen just because of the way the system's designed. It would cost a lot of money to separate our combined sewer into storm drains and sanitary sewers. It would be expensive. And so that has been prohibitive for the region. You know, we've looked at building deep tunnels below ground to store this extra wastewater until it can be treated and discharged into the rivers, but that's also been cost prohibitive. So one approach that, you know, I've certainly pushed and many others have is trying to look towards more green solutions, more green infrastructure, meaning not depending so much on pipes, but trying to divert stormwater into wetland areas, into parks or areas of property that are vacant and allow that water to naturally seep into the ground. I mean, that's really, I think, where we have to go, because the other solutions are just too cost prohibitive at this point.
I read that a couple of years ago when Chicago was dealing with a big summertime flood, the city chose to bulldoze foreclosed properties, trying to avoid the problems of washed out sewer overflow, and also leaving basements intact as sort of receptacles to collect the floodwater. What issues might come up if Detroit tried to go down a similar road?
Well, there are some of those projects that are actually in place, and looking at maybe taking those areas that were basements and filling them in with, you know, crushed gravel or stone that can work as sort of a retention area for stormwater and a way for it to naturally percolate into the ground. There's some of that work being done here in Detroit as well. One concern that we always have in Detroit, being a major industrial city, is that we do have many areas of contaminated property where there are chemicals, things left over from gas stations or dry cleaners or small manufacturing operations, where, you know, whatever there is on the ground could then be seeping into the groundwater, and we would be concerned with contamination over time. So you have to be really smart about where you locate these green infrastructure projects, do soil testing and all of that to make sure you're not contributing to some sort of contamination problem by trying to solve this issue of heavier, more intense storms caused by climate change.
I mean, I'm also mindful of the way that we've seen foreclosure clearances disproportionately affect Black neighborhoods, which is a great many neighborhoods in Detroit. Something that no doubt would enter the equation as well.
Yes, and we wouldn't want those neighborhoods to be overly burdened, you know, as a stormwater retention area. I mean, you want to do this in such a way that actually beautifies neighborhoods, and that, yes, if there are blighted and abandoned properties, maybe it's worth it to remove them and put in a, more of like a park-like setting that at times will flood when you would have rainwater diverted there, but then otherwise would be a nice green space for the community. So there are ways to do this smartly where you're not overly burdening communities that are already suffering from so many injustices.
We just have a couple minutes left, but the city just experienced a monstrous cash windfall from the federal COVID relief effort. Mayor Duggan's listed priorities, but they don't include a major sewage or water retention project. Do you know if any of that money or any of President Biden's infrastructure deal might help the city tackle this?
Well, this is a big point of discussion right now with the proposed infrastructure bill that's coming up. You know, how much money can be set aside for things like climate resiliency? And when you put climate change into the discussion, unfortunately, that then, you know, loses some of the Republicans that have been negotiating for this bill. And so it's still an unknown number as to what could be invested specifically for climate change. However, sewer infrastructure, water infrastructure, those are things that definitely are considered and are have been articulated as things that are goals of President Biden's infrastructure plan. As far as the COVID relief money, I think that's a bit more challenging because it wasn't specifically directed to things like, you know, wastewater infrastructure or drinking water infrastructure. However, there may be some funds available for transit, which perhaps could lead to, you know, less reliance on using these roads that have been flooding. You know, perhaps more people riding transit, we can take some of the money that's needed to maintain and expand roads and invest into more public transportation options. But with the infrastructure bill currently working its way through Congress, there's still a lot of unknowns there. And I would think with the flooding in Detroit, as well as the excessive heat out west, that this discussion of climate change, you know, again, should be front and center. And hopefully there will be dollars to help communities adapt and be more resilient in the face of a warming climate.
You know, it is a little dizzying, though, when you think about the fact that the number of jurisdictions that would have to be involved to secure the highways, to secure the sewage systems, you know, deal with the power problems that are a part of this. We should mention there was a pretty big AT&T outage in Southeast Michigan that knocked out a lot of people's phone service, mobile phone service. I mean, who's the right? Is it the state's job to coordinate something like this?
Well, certainly with looking at the highway issue and the flooding issue, I mean, that's something that the Michigan Department of Transportation would take a lead role on, working with the different municipalities where those roads pass through to make sure that they've got better plans in place. I mean, what's frustrating is this isn't new. I mean, there are, many advocates have been calling for, additional flood planning, for green infrastructure planning to be a part of highway projects for many years. And so, really the state's behind the curve on this, and they need to get ahead of that curve, or we're going to continue to have these problems. But yeah, so I see a major role for state government here and for our Environment, Great Lakes and Energy Department to be in a leadership role, because you're right, there are multiple jurisdictions that where these roads and major infrastructure passes through. I mean, just our drinking water and wastewater system in Southeast Michigan, there's, over 100 communities that are connected there. So you need to have some of that regional and state planning to help us get to where we need to be.
Nick Schreck, an associate professor at Detroit Mercy School of Law. Nick, it's great talking to you. Thanks for making time.
Thank you.